This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
I'm joined by Ollie Court.
Hey there, Rob.
And the two of us are going to be looking at the last year's Eurodraft that myself, Ollie, Arne, and Ian did. Looking at kind of a year on, I think 11 months on actually, but you know, close enough. Seeing with the benefit of hindsight a year later, who actually did draft the best roster? At the time when we did the vote, I won, although I only won by like one vote from Arne, so it was very close. But like, I get a feeling we're gonna have some shifting around a year later. We'll set up some sort of vote for you guys after this has gone out, so you can vote for who's won, because you're obviously way better impartial judges of who's better, because of course I'm going to think I mine was the best, which it was. Vote for me.
Tooting horn.
Yeah. So I guess we'll start by running down some of the rosters, and we'll kind of share some thoughts as we go through. So we'll start with let's go in reverse order of the way the vote finished. So who came bottom?
I believe it's me up first, Ollie. Then. Yeah.
With 9% of the original vote.
Not loved in its own time, my roster. But let's see a year later whether it's the strongest.
So you opened up with Jimmy Havoc. Would you be behind that first roster pick?
Well,
because for me it seems a little early.
Yeah, I think as a first-round pick, it's probably the weakest of the four first-round picks we made. I drafted that on the basis of his heel run in Progress was excellent, and like he kind of anchored that promotion through probably its best period creatively. And like I felt like he had it in and do it again, as we've seen this year. Maybe not quite hit the highs of that run, but he's still all right. I'm still behind drafting him.
Yeah, definitely a good guy to have. But for me, it's been a combination of Havoc's hype dropping a little because his face run, it's, as you said, it's never really hit the heights of the heel run. But also a lot of the second and third round picks, and you know, even further down, they've built themselves up a lot in the subsequent year. So, like, looking back now, you picking Havoc ahead of, I don't know, like a Skrull, a Volta, even a later pick like Banks looks, you know, it doesn't look like the smartest decision. But at the time, it would have made a lot more sense.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, your second pick was Pete Dunne.
That looks very good in hindsight.
If you just swap those two around, like, a year later, it looks a lot more right.
Yeah,
I can imagine he's going to go real quick next year. Because it's crazy to think how quickly Pete Dunne has elevated. Mm-hmm. Like, beginning of 2016 was when he was just starting out in the big promotions. Like, that's a year and a half ago. That's nothing. He was in a four-man tournament, Rev Pro making his debut there, and people didn't really think he had a chance because he hadn't really been in the promotion before. I think he was with El Ligero,
Flash Morgan, I think.
Flash Morgan and one,
Bowden,
maybe
probably.
Josh Bowden? Probably Bowden. And that he only got that spot because someone got injured. I think it was Andrew Everett, and vacated the Cruiserweight title. And then from there, he kind of morphed into the Bruiserweight. had a great run as the cruiserweight champion, really like nailing out his character. Moved into Progress at first as just like the Dunn brothers, which I think would have been right around the time when we were doing the draft.
Yeah, because I put him in with Damian Dunn, which is crazy. Like, that's only a year ago, and now they've veered off on such wildly different paths. Dunn had really... He was kind of a reach at the second round pick in the draft last year, and you definitely wouldn't think that now. It's been a big year
for him. I can imagine you were doing it on the strength of his Rev Pro cruiserweight run and kind of the potential he had there, in that he was just breaking into Progress. He was nicely positioned in Rev Pro, but even you probably couldn't have imagined just how much of a mainstay he'd have become in the following 12 months, both in Progress and then in WWE UK itself.
Say that I'm very proud of that pick. It's probably like the pick that's like gone up most in value.
Maybe Banks, which we'll get to later, it's I'll be amazed if he isn't a first round pick next time. So that was a nice gamble that's kind of leveled out your initial Havoc pick. So your next two were Joe Kofi, Ryan Smile. Both of these, they've had good years, but neither have, like, blown people away.
Yeah, they both showed a lot last year, big potential, and I don't think either have, like, broken through as they could have potentially, be it not working in, like, the trendiest of places for Kofi. He's been one of those guys who've been screwed over by Five Star and World of Sport, despite like he was like being well positioned there and nothing ever came of it. And then for Smile, he's just not quite made it as a main eventer. Like, his run in OTT as the champion's been a little bit disappointing so far.
Yeah, like he's everyone still thinks he's very good.
Yeah.
But, like, he's kind of He hasn't quite been able to shake the kind of stigma of being like budget Will Ospreay. Like, he's the guy you get when you can't get Will Ospreay, and like, he hasn't developed, I guess, enough of a character to kind of be his own thing in a way. He's like, in a lot of places, he's Will Ospreay's tag partner still, which is perhaps somewhat of a disservice to him, but he hasn't, as you said, he hasn't broken away in the way that a lot of these third and fourth round picks that we're looking at from the other guys, they've raised their stock a lot in the last year.
Yeah.
These two, roughly about the same. You could maybe argue Coffey's dropped slightly. Smile might have slightly elevated, but he hasn't moved too much. Yeah. Like, not terrible picks, but again, like, with hindsight, they do look a bit early.
Yeah, they're probably going to go down next year, or this year even.
And that'll more be that the rest of the scene's moved up, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah. Again, higher bar.
For your first foreign pick, you went with O'Reilly, which I think is a very strong pick, although he hasn't had the most amazing of years.
Well, he's not been wrestling anywhere.
Yeah.
He's had like five matches all year.
He's been hampered by contract situations, but like everything he has done has still been very good.
Yeah.
So I'd still be like, there's nothing wrong with that pick at all.
And he's,
like,
he's one of the main guys in the BJ Cup coming up.
Ah, indeed. Your next two picks, Paul Robinson, Rampage Brown. Paul Robinson, like, is he retired? Because he's kind of retired in Progress.
He retired in Progress, at least, but now he's
sort of
back.
Then he wrestled in Lucha Forever, and, like, he's kind of talking about having another run. I'm very confused.
It's kind of like the Pollyanna retirement, which lasted about 2 months.
But I feel like Robinson's retirement is more of a, you know, he listed health reasons, and they are actual health reasons, but then he went and wrestled a semi-main event. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on there, but either way, like, in the last year, his stock has dropped quite a bit, due to not working
again. I still think he's very, very good, but again, like we say, the bar's raised, and my picks haven't gone with it, unfortunately, apart from Pete Dunne.
Yeah, and I think Rampage Brown, like, he's good, but, like, he doesn't jump out at me as like a one of the better guys in the UK at the moment. Like, you throw him into any match and it would be good, but like, name the last great Rampage Brown match. I'm really searching.
It's kind of freestyle special.
Yeah, yeah. Like, his Atlas run didn't do a lot for me, which, in general, that whole Atlas division has, for me, has been a big disappointment.
Yeah, it's now the Riddle division, basically.
Yeah, and it's like, it's meant as big lads wrestling, and Riddle, yes, he is over 205 pounds, but he doesn't wrestle like a big lad. What, that's, it's not in the spirit of the title, damn it. But yeah, two more picks that haven't, you know, you self-admittedly haven't.
This isn't looking good, is it?
It isn't. You've got Pete Dunne so far, and everyone else has been, well, they're good, but...
Condemned myself.
But,
I think some picks coming up are looking okay.
Yeah, this next one's Toni Storm. That's a pick that's risen.
I mean, I did have the number one women's pick, so I couldn't really miss on that one.
Yes, but, like, I'd say you've got the number one woman there.
Yeah, still.
Yeah, probably. Like, Ginny has got closer to her, I think, but she's still quite a way behind in the ring. Dahlia's kind of been hampered by her injury. Kaylee Ray's still a couple of steps behind her. Nixon's gone now, but I was... Yeah, great pick. And then you went with Rhea O'Reilly after that, which...
She's been injured, so it's been difficult to tell with her.
Next up, you went Mastiff and Eva. Two more picks that we...
Let's get on to the next two. There we go. That'll be better.
Yeah. Same old story with Mastiff and Eva. They haven't done a whole lot for themselves. Eva's really disappointed me recently. Mastiff have been caught up with the whole World of Sports stuff. But your next two, they're two that you nailed. And I'm, you know, looking back, it's like, how did we leave them so late? But it's a lot of that is in the last year, they really have come on leaps and bounds. Both in where they're working and their work itself. Chris Brooks and Damian Dunn, two great late-round picks.
Yeah, obviously Chris Brooks with the CCK stuff's gone to another stratosphere in Britrest, basically. Like, he and that brand, together with Lycos and Banks, are sort of like the next breakout stars, like British Strong Style were last year. And then Damian Dunn's revived his career somewhat after the split from Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne going off and doing great things. Now Damian Dunne's reinvented himself, going all in on the anti-fun police gimmick and doing a cracking job with it.
Yeah, took him quite a while. Like, if we'd have done this a few months ago, I'd have maybe said, like, Damian Dunne, like, yeah, he probably belongs a bit higher, but, like, he's still kind of bland a little bit in most places apart from Attack. But in the last, last couple of months or so, He's taken the anti-fun gimmick and he's basically doing it everywhere he works now, with a couple of exceptions, but it's kind of, he's finishing off the feud he's in, and then he's probably going to turn go back to no fun. And, you know, that character that's set him apart has really been a boon to him, and he's just started in progress again now, doing his own thing. And he's not just Pete Dunne's brother anymore. Which he was for quite a while after Pete had broken up.
Not even his real brother. All right, now you can put me back on trial. Can stop praising me.
Laura DiMatteo.
I'm gonna rescind that one.
For a third round woman, like, looking at the other people we picked in the third round, I think you did pretty much as well as...
I think the pool in the women's wrestling in Britain has gotten deeper now.
Incredibly so, definitely. Yeah. And that's even with the women who have left, which has been quite a few.
So yeah, DiMatteo and Shanna probably won't get into the top six. I mean, DiMatteo might squeeze in, but like, they're not going to be in the third round of the women's draft, I wouldn't think.
No, you wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so. And then Shanna, I don't think I've seen a match from her in the last year.
No, she's mainly been jobbing in Stardom and, I guess, working other places.
Probably Portugal?
Yeah.
I assume they have shows in Portugal. I know she's Portuguese, but yeah. Not an area I'm particularly familiar with, I confess. Then you got Dan Maloney, who's another guy who hasn't broken out to the degree that... Yeah, he's kind of in the weird middle tier.
It's a little surprising that he hasn't broken out, particularly at all yet, since he was in WWE UK. Fight Club Pro use him really, really well, and he's developing nicely there. I think give it maybe another year, and he'll be the breakout next year.
Yeah, you look at the WWE UK guys, and like he's kind of almost the only one who is good and gets work in places that people care about, but isn't like a big star.
Yeah,
like you've kind of got British Strong Style, you've got Mark Andrews, like the top tier of those guys, and then it's like it's Dan Maloney, and then like below that, it's like everyone else. It's like Muscle Cat.
Yeah,
and Joseph Connors and James Drake, who is nowhere to be seen in progress, thankfully now. But yeah, you keep going with your heel heat. Well done, well done. after that, you've got but going back to Maloney, I think he will probably climb up the ranks a little bit. Like that's a good pick this deep in.
And I'd say Flash Morgan Webster as well. Next up was a decent pick. I did pick him injured, so.
Yeah, that deep. Yes.
Yeah, he's good value for that late.
He still doesn't do too much for me.
Yeah.
Like he peaks around 3.5 stars for me, and I get recommended all these matches and like looking through reviews, going, oh, that's 4.25. I should watch that, and then I watch it, and I'm like, yeah, it was fine. That's kind of where I kind of peak with Flash, but yeah, other people seem to like him, so mate, I'm the odd one out there. After that, you've got T-Bone and Clint Margera. Yeah, fine, again.
T-Bone's
kind of
fake Irish accent on WWE UK was hilarious.
I completely forgot about that. Oh, that was amazing.
T-Bone
did not get
the call back.
that's a great pick just for that. Like, oh, that was incredible. He was doing the whole gypsy gimmick, and I remember like watching it and being like, is he doing an Irish accent? He's not Irish, is he? Is he putting on it? He can't even do one. He's terrible at it. Oh, it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
So I think the pick has value for that.
Yes. Clint, on the other hand, like he was a deathmatch guy a year ago, doing apparently good deathmatch things. I can't really tell what a good deathmatch is because I don't enjoy them. I imagine he's still doing that. Yeah, he is what he is. Your next foreign pick, though. I think his stock has risen a lot in the last year in Shane Strickland. He's gone from a guy who's like he was kind of where like maybe a Desmond Xavier or a Jason Cade is now, and he's gone to where like an Ospreay was a year ago. Now Ospreay's gone even higher since then, but Strickland's really moved up in the ranks. So looking back, that was a great pick.
Yeah, I'm very happy with that one.
And then you've got the Hunter brothers. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're definitely good value this late on, with only a couple of picks to go. I saw no one had taken them, and, you know, they're very versatile and excellent tag workers. So even though they may not ever be, like, stars, I think they're strong assets to have.
I don't think their stock's particularly risen since last year, but, like, last year, they were good value taking them this deep, and still now, they're good value. I wouldn't be shocked to see them maybe climb a couple of ranks. But as you said, probably not too high, because they're always kind of going to be, at best, an upper mid-card act who have very good matches, but they like have an anti-star aura around them.
And, like, I mean,
I enjoy them as well, but like, the one place where they don't feel like they out of place towards the top of the card is Attack, because everything goes in Attack.
Yeah, but they're excellent as the Brothers of Construction, and doing the heel turn and then the fake face turn at Press Start 5 was excellent, so.
Yeah, yeah. Next, you've got Mayu Iwatani. We pretty much went the Stardom three here. And then I got left with, like, oh, who else do I go for? Who has worked in the UK? Ah, Gail Kim. She's really good. That's a good pick. If anything, her star's kind of risen a little bit in the last year or so, just because she's kind of gone from the level behind Shirai and Hojo to kind of on a par with them, and then obviously those two have now left, so she's kind of left as the ace. Or I think Shirai's on the verge of leaving. I'm not quite sure, and I'm up to date on the details, but you know, she's going to be going at some point. So yeah, that's they're a good pick, and then with the final two picks, you went Kim Rae and Tiger Alley.
Well, Tiger Alley went nowhere in the WWE UK, didn't even get into the tournament. And Kim Rae, he retired and came back all in the space of the last year. And I don't think he's a particularly good babyface right now, but we'll see what he can do with Volta at Shortcut to the Top.
Yeah, he kind of seemed to me like he came back worse, which was like, oh, great.
A little bit, but... yeah.
Yeah, when you're getting that deep, like we were kind of scraping, and I think it'd be cool to see this time when we do it. I think we are planning to do it with one extra person, so it won't be completely comparable. But in general, I think there's more good guys on the scene this year, which is quite impressive, because last year I remember talking about like how deep we were going without having to really stretch. It was only like in the last couple rounds, and this year I think we'll have even more to choose from. So overall, even like a year on, it hasn't, your roster hasn't aged particularly brilliantly, gotta say.
No, I understand that completely. There's a couple of flash picks like Pete Dunne and Chris Brooks which have aged very well.
You've got a couple of diamonds in there, but like across the board, like the bar has risen, and most of your guys are kind of if there's a trend of them kind of being about the same. I sounds like you can't argue too much with your last place finish, but you've got a chance for redemption.
Intend to redeem myself by not at least finishing last next month or whenever we're doing it.
End of July. In theory, we'll see. So yeah, next was Ian. So we'll be able to pick apart his roster now without him even being able to defend it. But he started with Mark Haskins. You can't really pick that apart in any way. He was great then. He's great now. The one thing you could perhaps say is that, like, he perhaps stands out a little less now.
I think he certainly did not acquit himself excellently at Super Strong Style. And I think around me, the people standing near me, there was a general negative consensus on him. I just felt like people were into him a little less than they have been over the last year. Whether that was because of Pussy Bitch or not, I don't know. The infamous 19-second promo, ranting and raving somewhere in Camden, which didn't particularly display his mic skills in any way. So I don't know. Like, I probably don't think he's going to be first round this year. That's my hot take.
Probably not, but I can't see him dropping much lower than second round.
No. He'll still be a high pick, definitely.
A lot of that will be that other people have risen and he's still at the same very high level, but like I wouldn't say he's particularly in a better position than last year. Maybe very, very slightly lower, but he's still up there and he's still great. And of course, since then he's been in PWG a couple of times. Has he been back since Bola? I think so, once. Maybe. Who knows? Who even watches PWG? but second pick, Jack Gallagher. It's
difficult to analyze, obviously, because he left for WWE pretty soon after the draft.
That's true.
I think he's done pretty okay within the cruiserweight division there, but it's impossible to stand out in that. He did get a Royal Rumble spot, though, so he's clearly doing something okay.
He did. I don't think he'll be as high this... Well, he won't be on it
at
all.
He won't be on it, yeah.
Yeah. But if we were including WWE, which obviously is a big hypothetical, I think his stock maybe has dropped a little bit. But again, other people have risen more than he's dropped, if that makes sense. For example, his third pick, I would have said... with the benefit of hindsight, is a better pick than the Gallagher, his second pick, which is Axel Dieter Jr.
He nailed this one.
Him, ever since his heel turn, which wasn't too long after the draft. What was that? That was October, maybe?
Yeah, September,
maybe
October.
Maybe a bit earlier. It was pre-Tag League, definitely. He really, that switch of alignment did wonders for him. And he really became one of the top guys on the scene. In retrospect, hell of a pick for the third round. Looking across, other than maybe Galloway, probably the top third round pick, maybe second top third round pick. I'd take him ahead of Gibson and Kofi, definitely.
Dieter's come on leaps and bounds, and Ian having the foresight to pick him even pre-heel turn was very strong. I think we ummed and ahed about this one a little bit when he was a face, but yeah, the ring camp stuff was excellent, and he was a big part of that.
Yeah, Ian gets mad props for that one. Fourth up, Josh Bowden. For a lot of people, that'd be very unpopular because... in general, I get the general feel that people don't think he kind of deserves his spot in ref pro, but I think he always delivers.
I think he's definitely gotten better this year, I would say.
He's got better, but at the same time, I wasn't opposed to this pick at the time, no. And I think he's has improved since the last year. I think Bowden's really good, and I realise that's somewhat of an unpopular opinion, but yeah, I'm behind that pick from Ian. Fifth up, Kotaro Suzuki. I remember at the time thinking that's a weird one, looking back, yeah, still a weird one. Is he still with Wrestle One?
I have not seen a Kotaro Suzuki match this year. If you
don't think I have either.
I know Ian likes him though, so.
Yeah.
He's allowed to pick who he wants.
Yeah. It wasn't who I'd have picked, as I picked Chris Hero, but, you know, Suzuki's good.
Actually, I lie. I think I saw Kotaro Suzuki versus Go Asakawa at one of those really small K-Dojo shows, and it was quite good.
Well, there we go, then. There we go. I feel... bad to even comment on this, having not seen him, but in his choice of any international guy who could have worked the UK,
it's a strange one, but it's a unique
one. It was a
one
strange
as well.
One. But yeah, and then next up, I think it's impossible to criticize this person because it's Ian's favorite wrestler, Sha Samuels. Of course Ian was going to pick him. I was almost surprised you didn't pick him earlier.
Can do a good moonsault.
He can do an amazing moonsault. And every time he does it, it surprises me. I'm like, no, you can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. I've seen you do it a couple of times. But yeah. It's weird. I feel like if anyone else had picked Shah in this spot, it would have been like, nah, you picked him too early. Ian, this is the right point for Ian to pick him.
Mm-hmm.
and I imagine he will pick him
stuck to his guns.
Similarly, in the following Eurodraft, if I ever get around to asking him if he wants to do that. I'm going to ask him before this gets released,
invitation.
So this won't be his invitation. But yeah, if I remember anyway. Next up, El Ligero.
Can't argue with that. Yeah.
Yeah, El Ligero
in the sixth
very
round or
solid
so.
Wrestler. Yeah. There are guys lower than him that, in the benefit of hindsight, were better picks, but there are guys above him who I'd probably take Legero over now. So, yeah, solid pick for this round.
Definitely.
For his two women, he went for Kaylee Ray and Viper.
Both Scottish.
Yeah, he's repping his nation there.
But you know, Viper just got the Mae Young Classic call up. Kaylee Ray's doing really, really well everywhere she goes. Probably like the second best woman on the scene right now, I would say.
Around there, definitely. I look at those two and I don't go like, wow, you've definitely won the women's section of that little bit, but like, he hasn't lost it either, definitely. They're good picks, definitely. Next up, he went Charlie Garrett, who for a while it looked like that was going to be a great pick, and then he's kind of stopped being used by RevPro in OTT. He's lent too hard on the gimmick. This is Charlie Sterling now.
Yeah, Charlie Sterling with a pound sign on his trunks.
Yeah, he hasn't necessarily capitalized on some fairly big opportunities he was given, and he's
that's true.
Fallen out.
Like, he's had good matches and good character work. It's just, you know, as you say, his stock seems to have gone down rather than up, despite getting opportunities.
Yeah, he was consistently good, not great, and when there's like other people around him getting opportunities and being great in them, like that's kind of, he's comparatively lost his spot, I guess. But yeah, an okay pick for this deep. And next he went with the infamous Williams sisters, Doug Williams and Kenny Williams. I'd say Kenny's stock's maybe risen a little bit, and Doug's has probably dropped quite a bit.
Yeah, well, Doug's on the back end, so probably fair for him. Kenny, though, as you say, like, he's gotten some opportunities, but kind of not a whole lot. Like, he's sort of been pigeonholed as an opening match guy and hasn't really gotten a chance to really dig, like, sink his teeth into a big feud or like a big showcase match in ICW or whatever.
He's done some decent stuff in WCPW, and personally I thought he was the standout of the World of Sport Christmas special, but
yeah, I think he looked the most TV ready of any of those guys.
But yeah, a lot of it has been opportunity for him again this year. Which seems to be kind of a pattern for a lot of the Scottish guys. You can probably guess we're not the biggest ICW fans. But, yeah, Kenny that deep was, I think, even without the opportunities, it was a good pick. Doug, maybe a little high, especially a year on. He hasn't really done much in the last year at all, really, has he? Next on, DeMac. DeMac.
Yeah, he didn't really make any impression in the CWC, and he didn't really get a chance to. He had a good match with Bobby Guns in the Loser Leaves Hamburg match recently in WXW, but yeah, it was kind of an also-ran at 16 Carat, so not like a feature player for WXW, and like definitely the Jannetty of Hot and Spicy.
Yeah, so then with his next two female picks, Soraya Knight and Courtney. Have I seen a match from either of them in the last year? I feel like I probably have, but
I think this was around the time Soraya Knight was scaring children in PCW, the iPay-per-view.
For that brief time when people were watching PCW for that like two-show run when they were running like iPay-per-views for like £2, and people were like, it's £2, it's worth throwing. And like, but it's also time, and it's not worth the time.
Showing a raffle on the iPay-per-view. That was the moment for them.
Something that Lucha Forever copied? Like, maybe not what to take, but, you know. They're not doing iPay-per-views anymore, so there we go. Although they said they're going to start again soon.
So basically we weren't too impressed with these two picks.
Where has Courtney worked in the last year?
I could not tell you, to be honest.
I got the impression she was a lot of the places she was working, it was partly because, like, she was traveling with Tommy End, and obviously that's not a thing anymore, so, like, I haven't really seen much of her in the last year, so I'm not even sure I can say her stock's dropped, because I have no idea, but, yeah. Not too much more to say there, really, is there, with neither of us having seen anything from them. Again, depth in the women's scene in Europe has improved a lot over the last year, so we'll have more to choose from next time. I doubt either of these two will be picked.
Yeah, it'd be surprising.
At all, probably. Next up, Jordan Devlin, Michael Whiplash, Jody Fleisch, and Johnny Storm.
I think Jordan Devlin's a big hit here. Have you seen his match against Moose on the recent OTT show?
I've watched matches from that show, but I think I might skip that match.
It's probably the best match on the show. You should go back and watch it. When Moose, gorilla pressing Devlin out of a ring and Devlin jumping back in, like, off the balcony seconds later. That's one of the best spots all year I've seen.
Actually, I might not have seen that show. Was that the show?
Stranger Things.
Oh, no. No, I've seen some of Marvel's, but I haven't seen any Stranger Things, so I've got that to look forward to then. But yeah, Devlin, after like a shaky WWE UK run, which kind of, I think, hurt his stock more than helped it, especially that first night match against Martin Stone.
That was the most bizarre match of the year, because it was a really bad match, but it got him over as a heel for like the second night. So
yeah,
it did its job in a way they didn't quite expect.
Devlin... 6 months after the draft, I'd have said his stock's maybe dropped, but like in the last few months, I think he's risen it back up again. He's had a good last few months, and going into WrestleRealm, he could be poised to improve it even more. Whiplash, yeah, his stock has dropped.
In Fight Club Pro, it's gone up. Everywhere else, he's dead in the water.
Well, we did the draft after Strong Style, so maybe his stock was already at about as low as it was going to
go. Yeah, this was like when he was in the toilet booking-wise for Progress, in that very strange summer where they decided to book the main event around Sebastian, Mikey Whiplash, and Eva. But, I think his Fight Club Pro appearances have been good, though.
So I guess his stock's risen, but maybe that was an early-ish pick for him anyway. But, now it seems okay. Now it seems okay. He's no longer been offensive in several promotions. Now he's a good guy to have around on the card. And then Fleisch and Storm, they've stopped showing up in Rev Pro, so I've kind of stopped seeing them. They're similar to Doug, I guess. They've very much been phased out of places as they've put over guys. Then we've got Jigsaw for his foreign pick. Yeah, Jigsaw's good. He's got a big match against Havoc coming up in Birmingham,
yeah, Progress,
I think, for Progress. Would that be his Progress debut? Has he already shown up there?
No, I think this is his first one. But yeah, like always around in OTT and Fight Club Pro, makes a trip over a couple times a year. You could almost get away with him drafting him as a domestic wrestler and not an import.
I think he works a little bit too much for Chikara. No one pays attention to it because it's 2017 Chikara, but he works fairly regularly for Chikara now. So
yeah, fair play.
I'm not quite allowing that one. I'm putting my foot down. But you know, looking back, I did draft Bailey, and at the time he was predominantly a UK guy, but now he's kind of predominantly a Canada and
so
Japan guy.
Mostly in Japan now, yeah.
So, he's not going to count as a domestic guy.
Yeah, we'll find someone else to be that wild card guy.
I mean, I'll have to start looking at Riddle stats, actually. Does he wrestle more in the UK than the US? In Europe than the US.
Well, yeah.
It's probably actually quite close. I can't imagine Riddle doesn't get drafted. This time around, even if it is as a foreign guy, like, he's
definitely
a lot of hype. Next up, Bad Bones and Roy Johnson. For this deep, I think both of their stocks have risen quite a lot. Like,
Bad Bones dragged Cody to the best match of his life. So
I still haven't got over how good that match was.
Yeah, like, it was amazing live. Like, the crowd was like so into it.
And it translated to tape too. Like, how did that happen? Like, Bad Bones is like a good wrestler, but like Cody's wrestled like Chris Hero and had like it was like 3.25 star, and it was like, well, that,
I think
that's
it's because their styles mesh really well. Like, Bad Bones does do that kind of WWE style really well. So I think Cody felt at home in the ring with him, and like apparently they'd like talked a lot before the match, planned out well. So
but
I guess
Cody
it all
didn't
came
have
together.
That good matches in WWE, like makes no sense. But yeah, props to Klinger for that. That was amazing.
Roy Johnson provides something different. Like, I would have thought maybe he'd have better matches by now. Like, he was in that really good tag team tables match against the South Pacific Power Trip with Jack Sexsmith, but he was definitely not the focus of that match.
Yeah,
so
he was number 4 in that.
Yeah.
Or maybe even 5 if you're counting Dahlia in there too. Yeah. But at very least, his stock hasn't dropped since the last year, but you would kind of like to see him, if he does have it in him, have start been putting in opportunity to have more good matches. And I kind of get the feel that the reason he's not been put there and he's kept more to a far more character-based slot in pretty much everywhere he works is because he's still not quite there in terms of in-ring. But this next year could be the one. Then for foreign female, Ian went for Kairi Hojo. Can't argue with that. Similar to Iwatani. And then he finished off with Stevie Boy and Aspen Faith. The only time I've seen Stevie Boy in the last year was at Speed King, where he did a really bad run-in in a match between two people, like Ligero and someone. I forget who.
Seems rather forgettable.
Yeah.
And then Aspen Faith, I haven't seen anything from.
No.
So maybe Ian was a little too early to jump the gun on Aspen Faith.
Yeah. That might just be us not having seen the hot Scottish indies. Like,
no.
I confess I haven't seen any Discovery. And I couldn't even name another hot one. Like, there's a Scottish SWE, but I don't think that counts as hot.
Should we put Arn on trial then?
Yes. Second place ran me very close, was just a single vote behind me in the end, which I ended up kind of lawyering, because the vote ended in a draw and no one wanted a draw, so I said, Arn, did you vote for yourself in the vote? And he went, well, yeah, of course. So I went, well, because I was the one who did the poll, I didn't get a chance to vote, so last vote, I vote for myself,
wow.
I win, there we go.
That's,
he wasn't.
It's a hell of a loophole.
He voted for himself, why shouldn't I be able to vote for myself? Like, it did feel a little bit dirty, but we needed a winner. We needed a winner. Maybe it'll be different this time, or maybe we'll get a draw again.
Arn's first 7 rounds here are kind of balling.
Yeah, Arn won the beginning and then kind of dropped off the end, and I'd say argue even more so a year later. Like, let's just reel off his first 7 picks?
Yeah.
Zack Sabre Jr., Marty Scurll, Drew Galloway, Tyler Bate, Daisuke Sakamoto, Trent Seb, and Mark Andrews. Wow. Like, yeah. You could generally make, for all the UK-based guys, you could make an argument for them being a first-round pick. Maybe with the exception of Mark, but like, he's really impressed me over the last year. Like, he's pretty much nailed on for a second round pick this time around, I think. And I was never a big Mark Andrews guy until this year. And then in 2017, like, both with his WWE UK stuff and his progress stuff, like, he's had, you know, he's continually had his best match ever, I think, in the last year. Sabre, has his stock dropped very, very slightly, maybe? Slightly?
I don't think so. I think, obviously, getting into the G1 climax, he'll get a big opportunity to have a lot of really good matches, and I don't think they're going to do any bullshit interference in the G1.
He had a bad match with Kushida. Like, who else has a bad match with Kushida?
When was that? Oh, of course, Epic Encounter. Yeah, that was a frustrating match to watch because obviously they were short on time in that show, and then they decided to have like a really long, drawn-out, technical 15-minute match, like 15-minute opening of the match, and then like a 30-minute match in the end, and it was just like just exactly the wrong match for the situation he was put in. And that was definitely a misstep.
Yeah, here's where I'm at with that. When Zach has a very, very good match, it's usually, like, amazing.
Yeah.
And there's very, very few people who can touch him. But he's just as likely to have a match that doesn't do much for me. Like, it's almost a 50-50 split for me.
What do you think of his, like, 40-minute match with Skrull from the start of the year in RevPro?
I actually really liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it too.
It was too long.
Yeah, it could have shaved like 10 minutes off and it being the same match.
Yeah, if you could go in and like do a director's cut of the match, it could be way better. But yeah, if you put together like a portfolio of Zach's like 10 best matches he's had in the last year, it would rival anyone else here. But like, part of that is because he's a guy who's pushed everywhere he's at, and he gets these big opportunities everywhere he's at, and maybe more so than any kind of main event guy, he's the guy in the UK that I come away from most often being disappointed by. I'm not sure he'd necessarily be a first round pick this time around. Like, I can't see him being any lower than second, but you could make an argument he's not a top 5 UK guy anymore, but he probably is. Like, I can't argue too much with
it. I think so, yeah. As you say, like, he can miss occasionally, perhaps more than any other top guy, but I think his hits are big enough to allow that.
Looking at it on second round pick, like, I'd take Skrull over Sabre now, and I don't think I would have last year.
I'd probably still favour Sabre Jr. I think Skrull's done a really good job with his character and becoming, like, a superstar in the last year, but, like, outside of the UK, like, mainly with Ring of Honor, and now New Japan.
I think Skrull has a higher floor, and he's also pushed up his ceiling in the last year. So, like, it would be tight between the two of them, though. Arn's third pick was Galloway. Yeah, Galloway had a hell of a year.
Is rewarded with it.
Signed in NXT.
Yeah, a big stack of money in NXT.
Yeah, he won't be around for the next pick, but if he was, he'd be, I imagine, higher than third round. I think he's upped his stock even further in the last year. Fourth, Tyler Bates. Is there a guy who's raised his stock more? Like you said, Pete Dunne earlier. I think Bate was coming from a lower position than Dunn.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Maybe you could argue he's even higher than Dunn now, even on his level, maybe slightly below, but because he was coming from a lower position. Like, I think he is probably the guy who's raised up the most.
And maybe you could probably say the same thing about Trent Seven as well, because we have not seen a whole lot of him because he'd stayed mainly in Fight Club Pro, and Fight Club Pro didn't have a wide distribution until sort of the middle of last year, around the draft time, when Fight Club Pro sort of exploded on Vimeo. Trent Seven became full-time and went everywhere and was really awesome. Like, he kind of came out from nowhere, perhaps even more than Bate did.
Yeah, like, he was always, like, people who'd seen him always liked him, but he just hadn't been around that much. Like, I think around the draft last year, he was probably just... Was he still Mustache Mountain, or had he just broken, started British Strong Style? But he hadn't been in progress
just
for long.
The draft, because like I put the Dunn Brothers together, and that was obviously part of the split. So I think that happened like maybe a month after we did this.
Yeah. So like at the time, like he was a good pick, but now like
now
what
next
was he? Fifth round, He's going to be higher next time.
Like, same thing for Andrews as well.
Yeah, Andrews, I've kind of already talked about it, but like the Strickland match, the Ospreay match in progress, the Tyler Bate match that not enough people have seen at the WWE UK special, that's one of my favourite matches of the year, like right up there, match of the year contender stuff. I know a lot of people like the Pete Dunne match that they had at the January UK tournament. I wasn't huge on that one, but yeah, Andrews has had a hell of a year, and for me especially, has raised his stock a lot.
Mm-hmm. We've also timed these drafts very well to include Sekimoto in this one and now the upcoming one, because that'll fall just after he's appeared for XWA. So he'll be eligible again next year. Or mm-hmm. this year. I keep saying next year.
for his women, he went Ginny and Pollyanna. Pollyanna's stock's fallen a bit.
Yeah, she's she had that mini retirement and then came back, but to nowhere prevalent. And kind of doesn't have the best reputation amongst our little clique, I guess. So yeah, not probably won't be in the top two picks, but I could see her getting picked, especially if we're gonna be a five man draft next time.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'll get in, but I don't think she'll be in this first two rounds. So not top 10.
Yeah. Ginny has improved in the last year, but she's still like, she's not like someone you can rely on to have a great match still. But she's now someone you can rely on to have a good match and is a great character. So yeah, she's a good pick, obviously.
Yeah, she's elevated both sides of her. She's obviously still better at the character work, but she's like one of the best at that now, so can't argue with it.
Nathan Cruz and Joe Hendry were his next two. Two guys who have maybe fallen a little.
Yeah, Joe Hendry's been doing some weird stuff. The Lionheart feud isn't exactly what I want to see. Sort of like the whole fake work shoot stuff. It's kind of tasteless a little bit, and
he
can't really get into it.
He's been so bad as champion in WCPW. Like, I want to like him because he's charismatic and he's a fresh new face, but he's just like generic heel 101 stuff, and he's just doing it so badly. It's like, oh come on, give me a little bit more. Give me some reason to actually be bothered to watch your matches, but nope.
I think Cruz is still good, but he just hasn't been featured anywhere particularly. He's just been jobbed out in progress, so he has like no cachet there and hasn't really been a player anywhere else.
Like, it wasn't too long ago that we were arguing that like either Cruz or Gibson would be like solid shouts as like the next champion. For progress.
We'll talk about Gibson more when we come around to you, but the boat has sailed on him.
Progress kind of screwed that up by just going, yeah, let's have them lose all the time. And that kind of ended up killing the origin quietly, rather than it being a big deal in the end. But, you know. Next up, Eddie Dennis and Joel Redman. Joel's kind of dropped off the face of the earth.
Summer camp guy.
He's stopped being a consistent, a regular guy in Rev Pro, which is a shame because he was one of the more consistent guys in Rev Pro.
He was quite good in Rev Pro, you'd always be like, you'd always need reminding of how good he was, and then, he's pretty good, but not a guy who's like picking the right places to work, so to speak. I'm sure he's like earning a lot of money doing camp shows and stuff, but it's not exactly going to get you the indie cred.
A lot is maybe a bit of an exaggeration, but
I'm
sure he's doing fine.
A living.
He's not even working the cockpit shows anymore, which is he was a staple of them for
Eddie Dennis is though, and he's doing a very good job there. He's having a lot of like good singles matches, and I always said, he's not a very particularly good singles wrestler. He's kind of proving himself otherwise this year. His match against Dijak was really good. He's had a couple of other good ones. I think his stock is raised doing this cockpit run.
He's finally starting to feel like an asset that isn't just an asset because you can team him up with Mark Andrews and FSU is great.
And he has fun theme song.
Yeah, that too, which he doesn't have everywhere anymore, which is very sad. Very, very sad. No more party hard. Or at very least, less party hard. Then his secondary women were Lana Austin and I never know how to say this name, Zia Brookside?
I think it's Zaya.
Zaya?
Zaya, yeah. Brookside.
I think Arn picked her under the assumption that she'd be working Rev Pro fairly consistently, and she hasn't, and I'm not.
Yeah, she's probably still a couple of years away from breaking out anything big, but she's going to get somewhere eventually, and obviously family connection to NXT.
Yeah, that gives her
a little bit of leg up. Lana Austin, haven't seen too much of her. There were rumors going around that she'd be doing progress, but that never came to pass. So again, just hasn't really had any like major appearances for us to really talk about.
Then Robbie X.
this hasn't aged well.
I feel like he wasn't good a year ago, and he's definitely not good now. I have no idea how old he is.
I'm furious. Shake your head. this is the point and laugh pick, I think.
Yeah, this is, from this point on, is the point where I think I made a lot of gains on Arn, because he fairly undoubtedly won the first seven. Although a year later, I think mine ended up being closer to him than it was at the time. But yeah, Robbie X, is he young? I don't know, but
I think he is. I think he's our age.
Really?
Pretty much.
I feel like he's been in Southside forever, but obviously that's due to the family connection, isn't it?
I think he's only like 22, 23 or something.
I don't think he's got much better though. So I guess this was an arm.
Especially
going.
I was first introduced to him in Kamikaze, and the other guys there, Pete Dunne, Damian Dunne, Ryan Smile, have all gotten a lot better, and he's kind of still at that working men's club level.
But then the next pick, someone who's stuck, I think, has risen a bit in the last year due to his team with Mike Bird. Mike Hitchman, Wild Boar. Yeah, had a real good year, and I'm kind of waiting for him to start to be used in either Rev Pro or Progress. I know he's working pretty regularly for ICW now, but it'd be cool to see him.
Progress have done some stuff with Mike Bird, so I think they might bring in Hitchman, because Bird and Ball have been a really good tag team in Attack and ICW.
And he's been doing some decent stuff in Fight Club Pro when he's been booked there, but he hasn't been super consistently booked there in the last year, has he?
Not really, no. He's the British version of Quiet Storm. He's a short, stocky lad who will throw a load of lariats and kill you.
You didn't need to throw that insult at him. Mike's good.
It's because I dropped it in the last show as well. I want to make it a thing. and by perversely making it a thing, it will not become a thing. I like him. And I think Bird and Boar should be somewhere more prevalent.
Arn's next pick was Dante. For this deep in, I think that was a good pick.
Yeah,
but he's been marred by injury.
Face of the earth. He was in the opening match of the 16 Carat Weekend and nothing else. So he's kind of just a bit part player in WXW and not really anywhere else. So yeah, like you say, injuries and just not a lot of opportunity for him.
The injury kind of came at the worst time for him, because that was right at the point where he needed to go, look, I'm not just Tommy End's tag partner.
Yeah,
he's gone now. Wow, look at me, book me. He got injured then, and then since then it's kind of been it's just Dante. We don't need to find a place for him. If a place opens up, he'll be there, but we don't need to grab something for him. But yeah, that deep, it's still an okay pick. Then Johnny Moss, he's one of the highlights of WCPW. I think that's quite a nice pick this far in. I'd imagine he'd be at least around here next time, if not maybe a little bit higher. Then for his foreign guy, Arn went Jay Lethal.
Whew, that hasn't aged well.
No. Jay Lethal has gone from kind of like a bit of a bland wrestler who had consistently very good matches, albeit usually like the second most interesting guy in the match, to a bland wrestler who has good, not great matches.
I think like the drop off of Ring of Honor, it's like a really hot indie. When he was on top there, people were paying attention to it, and
for the first half, not anyway. At all.
And obviously, that horrible New Japan main event, the worst one probably in the Okada era, like a worst New Japan main event that he was in versus Naito, sort of impromptu, but he had no chance there and didn't sort of deliver anything that was of what a New Japan main event is expected to be, which I think kind of killed him as a anyone seeing him as a main eventer.
And I don't think I've seen a Jay Lethal match in the last year that I've gone, wow, that was really good.
Mm. When you're doing your rewatch, skip over the Naito Lethal match.
Oh, don't worry, it hasn't made the list. It hasn't made the list.
Put that on.
There were nowhere near enough starflakes. Snowflakes sprinkled on that one. And then Easton Reese. There's a guy who hasn't done anything since the Atlas tournament. He seemed all set to kind of be used in a lot of places because he was very useful because he's also a masseuse. But yeah, he kind of hasn't worked anywhere of note recently.
I think he's all right as well, but yeah, just kind of bland a bit.
Yeah, he's okay. He's fine. Primate, though, he's had a good year. His stock's risen, not like a huge amount, but quite a bit, a little bit.
Remember when he and Alexander Henry had like two matches in progress and then were never heard from again?
I don't, actually.
Exactly. That's how anonymous they were.
Yeah, that's... Oh, with New Nation, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was a thing. That was a
cup of coffee right there.
There was... Progress was like introducing a load of new tag teams then. It was like, oh, cool, new tag teams. And then it was like, yeah, we're going to split up Mustache Mountain, we're going to split up Dumb Brothers, make them into one team instead of two, and then have the tag team division be really shallow again and stop booking these fun
people.
Well,
you say that, but the best Progress matches this year have all been tag matches.
That's true.
But
that's
obviously
true.
The two teams that were delivering them are no longer around, being Ring Camp and South Pacific Power Trip, so... It's kind of been reset under CCK now.
Yeah, hopefully we start seeing some fun teams show up again now that CCK are on top of that division, because they deserve good guys to go against them to continue on the hype that they've got at the moment, because, you know, they feel like main event level guys, which is cool to see. Then Io Shirai... See our comments on Kairi Hojo and Iwatani, I guess. We're going quite long, so I guess we'll kind of skip on quickly for there. And then he ended up with the Prospect Tag Team. They're okay-ish. they're fine.
No comment.
For the last two picks, they're not horrible. They're not great either. And let's move on to the last of the four rosters. The one that actually won at the time. Will it win again? Fingers crossed. I hope you vote for me. I kicked off with Will Ospreay.
No brainer, really.
I know for a lot of people, his stock has dropped. For me, he's still brilliant. Real life Twitter persona has, I think, done more harm to his stock than anything else.
Yeah. I think if you just exclusively look at his in-ring, like, he's fantastic and one of the best in the world. Twitter, he can be grating. but, you know, it's wrestling. These guys aren't supposed to be, like, your friends.
Yeah. I'm still happy with that first-round pick. A pick I'm also was thrilled with. At the time, Big Daddy Volta, now just Volta. I think that was maybe a little bit of a stretch first time round. I know I was last on the second round picks. So it was kind of the eighth guy. I was maybe thinking it was like a bit of a bold pick to go for Volta then. Looking back now, I'm very happy with that.
It's an excellent pick. I don't think there's any way he's escaping the first round unpicked coming up in our redraft. He's had an absolutely fantastic year. Every single match he has is good, at least, and like always
most
exciting.
Most of them are great.
Yeah, good, bordering on great every time. And obviously, him and one of your next picks, Dragunov, the first guys to be in that five-star conversation since we started this podcast. So first time we've had like a consensus five-star match kind of going on. So
let's calm down a little.
Apart from the man who drafted him, everyone else loved that.
I may have thrown four at that. For the Vault of Star match, but you know,
which was also really awesome.
Like I definitely say he's WXW's MVP of the year. I think you could make an argument he might even be Progress's as well. Like,
yeah,
he'd be in the conversation definitely.
He's had a fantastic run in Progress this year, and they're using him during the Cologne show, and hopefully that'll lead to more appearances as well. And obviously, he got the Bowler call up as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I imagine he'll probably be over in the US with Progress as well, because that's kind of all around that time frame.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see on that one. It's been cool to see Volta go from a guy who's like almost... It was cool to see him kind of as a WXW exclusive for a while, but like seeing him get to face a wider range of guys has been awesome too. My third pick was Gibson. I don't think he'll be quite this high next year, but I think
like
a lot
say,
of that's due to booking.
They missed the boat on him, yeah. Like he was very hot. And if that Brixton show hadn't happened when it happened, I think they would have put the title on him. But he was getting hot just as like it's the same thing as for WrestleMania booking. Like they book it months in ahead, and it means that they can't like adapt to the situation. And I think. Had things been different, maybe Gibson would have been champion, but now, like, there's no way they can do that, and he's kind of lost, like, the nuclear heat that he had, and the very good matches he was having.
He's doing well in Rev Pro, though.
Yeah, they're building up very nicely, leading up to presumably a match with Will Ospreay at Summer Sizzler, which will have a lot of heat behind it. They're probably doing the best job with him, out of anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a shame because he was like he was a Progress guy, and like they completely dropped the ball on him to the point where it's like, yeah, he could leave Progress now, and I don't think I'd particularly notice. Whereas he's feels like a far bigger part of Rev Pro, and a few other places as well. The World of Sport contract probably hasn't helped him either. Not that that's been overly restrictive, but it's. No one wants to fully commit to a
World
of Sport
for a couple of months. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I went with Ilya Dragunov and misspelled Ilya, maybe.
And Dragunov.
Dragunova. Yes. Apparently, I could not spell at all at that point in time,
but
could make a good pick. Yeah. His stock has risen since then. Like. If he hadn't have been in the same round as Tyler Bate, I'd have been like, wow, I won that round and how much he'd grown. Tyler Bate has risen more. But, Dragunov has gone from a guy who's like, oh, he's going to be WXW's next guy, to the point where it's now is like, right, it's Dragunov's time is now. Like, he is on the verge. He's obviously won the 16 carat. He's going to have a title match against Simmons at some point.
We'll probably break it down after Shortcut to the Top's happened, but I think Avalanche is going to be winning that one, and Dragunov will unseat Avalanche. That seems like where they're going with that.
I'd be down for that, because they have good matches. They haven't had the great match you kind of expect from the two of them yet,
but they have a hot feud going.
It does
so
feel
it
like
makes
it's
sense.
In them as well. So, like, when that title match eventually does happen, maybe they've just been saving, like, the super insane match for that one, which would make sense and would sound a lot like WXW booking, to be honest. They do have a long-term picture a lot of the time. Then with my foreign wrestler, I went Chris Hero. I win.
He did quite
I think.
Well,
Hero had the best year in 2016, so you've got the second half of that after the draft, and then he had a good start to 2017 and hasn't had a huge amount to do since then.
Yeah, he's been learning how to do headlocks.
The Lily has been good in NXT, but he hasn't had a huge amount of time. But like post the Kenta match, Itami match, NXT Brooklyn Takeover, we may be saying, "Yep, Hero's amazing." Still, yeah. Obviously, and he is getting opportunities. That's a match I'm really looking forward to. Then I went Mike Bailey. At the time, we kind of mentioned earlier, he was predominantly UK guy because he was banned from the US. Now he's a predominantly Japan guy, and he's had a good year, but maybe hasn't quite hit the heights we were hoping for him, potentially.
I think he's been good. Definitely a guy you want to have on your card. He's had several good and strong matches with DDT and DNA. And in WXW, he was really good too. His tag team with ACH versus the JT Dunn, Donovan Dijak team was tremendous on night three. I think my favorite tag match of the year so far. Definitely had a good weekend there. The problem with him is just he's a freelance guy, so he never can make a huge splash anywhere. No one can really commit to him long term, but everywhere he pops up, he has good matches in.
Mm-hmm. Had a really good match with Kyle O'Reilly in WCPW in Canada. That's one well worth checking out, and it's free on YouTube as well. So do that, people, or not, short terms. Then I got TK Cooper, followed by Dahlia Black, and then a round or two down, we'll just kind of clump these guys all together. Travis Banks. Yeah, I got all three of these guys. I got them fairly late. I did well there. I did well.
Yeah, you got the Travis train going, because at this point he was a bit part player in that tag team. He'd only just debuted and people were kind of feeling him out. And it was still a couple of months before he had the blowaway matches in Fight Club Pro, which sort of put him on the map. Very well done to get the power trip before they were banging out great matches.
Hear that sound? That's me patting myself on the back. Looking back, I don't think Travis will go after TK this time around.
TK won't be in it, presumably.
That's maybe as kind of a gamble, hoping that he will get the visa at some point, but I'm not. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. Yeah. Same with Dahlia. Kind of looking at Dahlia on her own. An okay first round women's pick. Her breaking her leg obviously didn't help things, but it was only when I watched in Lucha Forever, hear her do a promo, I realised that Dahlia never does promos in Progress. Right. And yet, you think of her as a great character, which really puts over just how amazing she is at everything, other than talking, aside from talking, because she's a good talker as well.
Just her presence, yeah.
How amazing she is to get her character over without even need to do promos. That's incredible.
They had a very strong act, and I think... obviously, Progress have got CCK now in the tag division, but I don't think you can easily replace that team and what they were doing for Progress at the start of this year.
And then, obviously, Travis Banks is now a pushed singles act in a range
everywhere.
Of places, apart from Rev Pro, where he's still a tag act, which has worked out really nicely for them, in a roundabout way, in that they're kind of now the only place pushing him as a tag guy, which is cool. While everyone else kind of likes the copy Fight Club Pro, because they're the cool guys at the moment. Don't tell
just
anyone.
A little bit. The Midlands is where BritRest's bread is buttered.
Mm-hmm. That and the Dream Factory. Never.
Oh, obviously.
Never look past the Dream Factory.
Love the Dream Factory.
And then in between the three of them, for my secondary female pick, I went Nixon Newell. Very happy with that. Probably won the second round of women there.
Yeah, I think he had the first pick on that one.
So. Yeah, probably. I think Dahlia was last, and then Nixon was first.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, very happy to have her aboard, and now she's over in NXT, flying her trip. Well, don't think she's debuted in NXT yet. Probably, is she in the Mae Young Classic?
I don't think anybody's said anything yet, but I would assume so, yeah.
You'd think so, you'd think so. Then I had the London Riots after that. Who had a little bit of a down year, but do seem to be kind of on the up again now, just at the start of that.
Yeah, they're getting regular gigs and having good matches, just nothing blow away. Like, they haven't been featured in Progress for quite a while. They had the really good War Machine series, but since then, not really had a whole lot to do, and kind of got overshadowed by Power Trip and Ring Kampf.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're good. They're a good tag team. Then Martin Kirby was my next pick. Yeah, he's done some...
Mr. WCPW.
Yeah, he's kind of become the ace of WCPW. He's really found a promotion that fits him perfectly, and that he feels at home as a main eventer, and he doesn't stand out as a main eventer, yet he can still do his comedy stuff. I think his stock's raised a bit in the last year. I don't think he's going to be like a first round pick next time around, but I expect he'll be a little bit higher.
Yeah, he has a chance to get in before, if we do the same structure, he has a chance to get in before the first round of women's picks, so like the first seven rounds, especially if we're doing five people. Should be in there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy with that pick. Next, Melanie Gray and then Zoe Lucas. Zoe Lucas has... seemingly kind of...
Well, she's in Stardom. Well, she has been.
Yeah, she did a tour of Stardom.
A couple of tours. So, but presumably like, she's improved a lot through that.
She is working Rev Pro less, though, so I've kind of seen her less. And when she is working, she's usually working the Portsmouth shows, which I cherry-pick more than the other ones. Yeah, Melanie Gray, though, I think her stock's risen a bit. She's still a very good promo, but that cage match she had with Alpha Female showed her as probably her best match yet, I'd say.
Yeah, feature player in a very good comedy-turned Blood Feud storyline, which was very good from start to finish.
Next up, two picks I'm very happy with. First, Chris Ridgeway. I would have thought by now he would have fully broken out. He now seems like he's just starting to break out fully.
Yeah, he's kind of on the Maloney level of, like, he's definitely shown what he can do, but just needs, like, the big opportunity.
Yeah, he's starting to get pushed in and having standout matches in Lucha Forever. And, you know, he's being pushed up the card from there, from being kind of a... I think he was on the second match on the card in his first show. He had a match with Bubblegum that was, you know, widely praised. And since then, they're kind of using him, it seems, more regularly and in a more emphasized role. I can't wait till someone finally gets on the Ridgeway train and go either like a Progress or a Rev Pro or even a Fight Club Pro. He'd feel like a perfect fit for that. And goes, yeah, we're going to push this guy. We're going to use this guy consistently. We're going to feature him. Because he's really good, and I don't understand why people aren't booking him. Because I feel like it's going to be similar to the way Brooks has ended up, in that when people finally do start getting behind him, everyone else is going to go, why aren't we booking him? Let's push him as well.
Snowball effect, yeah.
Like, someone needs to be the first, and then I think from there, like, the snowball will just roll and roll, because he's got a look, he's amazing in ring, he can cut a good promo as well, like...
Progress is like a shy secondary school prom night, and one of the boys needs to go over to the girl's side, and then they'll all come eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I've been on the Ridgeway train for a long time, and I remember when I did draft him, like, the rest of you were all like, we were waiting for that, but I've been saying he should be breaking out now for like a year and a half now. It needs to come soon, and I think it's about to. I think Lucha Forever will kind of be the springboard for that. But he is still, like, very new to wrestling. I think he's only been wrestling, like, 3 years or something, which is crazy considering how good he is. And then after that, I got The Avalanche, Robert Dreisker. At the time, I think he was... Was he just coming back from injury around now? No, this was pre-coming back from injury.
I think this is... Was this before his injury? So I think he's been through his entire injury in, like, the he got it just after.
No, he was injured for last year's 16 carat.
Oh, okay, so this is, yeah, this, you must have drafted him while he was injured, I'm guessing.
Right, and so that's probably why he was so low.
Yeah. I think he'll be a lot higher this time.
But he's done well since coming back.
Oh, yeah, like, I think he's doing a lot better with the character work. Like, he told us in Oberhausen that he like, models himself on Bam Bam Bigelow, and you can see it. So he's definitely, like, inspired to do good stuff. He's main eventing Shortcut to the Top. He's getting bigger opportunities to have better matches as a singles guy. And I think if he is going to become champion, I think it's definitely the right time. And like I say, you can have a really awesome match with Dragunov if that is to happen.
Yeah, you went from kind of a big three of Dita Jr., Dragunov, and Volta. Big four, and Yearn as well. Previously, obviously you've had... Dita Jr. leave, and it feels like they're going, well, we're going to put Dreisker in that spot and still have our, you know, four-pillar kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he seems to be taking to that spot very well so far, although he hasn't had, like, the great match that the others have all had, but you feel like it's on its way, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So then my next two picks were Luther Ward and Bonesaw. And I later got Damien Corvin. Kings of the North are two guys who I think stock has really risen in the last year.
Yeah, Kings of the North looked really good on their big show. Had that amazing entrance, and they've been backing up in the ring.
They've got a presence. They've been great in ring. For me, they've been the highlights of OTT over the last year. Very happy to have got them, especially so low. Luther Ward, on the other hand, has kind of stopped wrestling. So, yeah. So, mate... Probably my worst pick so far, anyway. For my import, I went for Big Dustin, Chuck Taylor. I think his stock has risen a little in the last year, but I've always loved him. He's now like a PWG consistent main eventer. They kind of built the main event stories around him because he's got way more character than Zach. He's now in Ring of Honor, doing some good things there. One of the few people doing good things there. He's hasn't actually worked in the UK a whole lot in the last year, so, you know. But I think since the draft, he also did some good stuff in Evolve. I can't quite remember the time frame for that.
He's been doing, like, PWG and stuff, but I haven't really seen much of it, so. Or any of PWG, so I can't comment too much.
He's great. I love Chuck Taylor. Moving on. Sasa Keel, I...
disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah, WXW stopped booking him, and who watches mainland European wrestling other than WXW? Not us. Can't really talk about him. Gail Kim, these female import, the three... Yeah.
We may get a bit more of a selection this time around. Chris Wolf comes to mind.
Although Shirai and Hojo won't be on the table, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so many of the top women in the world now that are freelance are UK-based. Gail Kim, I can't, like, think of anyone I could have necessarily picked better.
I think maybe Jade.
Yeah. That's a solid argument, but it wasn't a terrible pick at the time, but it was inferior to the three you got, but that was just luck of the draw.
Yeah.
And then I finished things off with BT Gunn, who for that late in the draw I'm pretty happy to have. He's a good wrestler. He's not going to blow you away, but he's a good wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Roadster, who's, you know, he's done okay. Again, happy to have him as a last place draft pick.
Should we talk about the snubs?
Go for it.
Well, obviously, Obviously, what comes to mind is Kid Lykos, mainly. Ethan Silver, at this point in time when we drafted last year.
He was still Lykos in attack this time last year, right?
Yeah. He popped up occasionally as Lykos, but he hadn't become his like main gimmick. Like, he was still mainly appearing as Silver. Obviously, he's come on leaps and bounds under the CCK banner with Chris Brooks. We get heaps of praise on Brooks, but Lykos is a big part of that team as well, big part of that success, and like he's gotten the character over really well. Jern Simmons is a guy who we did not think a lot of at this point in time last year. This was only like a month after he stunk up the joint with Jeff Jarrett, so I think it's pretty obvious as why we didn't draft him then. But now he's really come on in his role. He's really taken to being the guy for WXW. As a babyface, I think he works a lot better. He's not doing the Tai Chi act of just like deliberately being shit to get under your skin. Like, now he's just having good matches while being like a cool guy and doing the crazy entrance, which nobody else does. Nobody really has the balls to carry off as well as he does.
Nobody else could do it.
No. And then you've also got Jack Sexsmith, who, again, hadn't really shown anything at this point in time last year, but after that aforementioned tag team tables match, Progress really got all in on telling a big story with him, and it's probably one of the best things they've done in 2017, is sort of Jack Sexsmith trying to become a serious, well, not a serious wrestler, but like a wrestler who fights for what he believes in, and like the scrappy underdog who may not be the most technically skilled, won the support of the crowd over, and like great scenes Super Strong Style when he beat Zach Gibson, doing the great callback to the previous match to like round off that story really well.
I think Gabriel Kidd's another guy who's definitely gonna show up this year. I know you don't watch a whole lot of WCPW, and I only do because I end up reviewing half of it. but he's one of the consistent high spots of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good, and he still kind of wrestles very basically because he's so new to wrestling, which, like, in a way that almost encourages me more because there's so much more room for improvement. He's so good at the fundamentals that when he does add the more dynamic stuff on top, he's going to go from good to great fairly easily. It's when you get the guys who are like new to wrestling, they're already doing like 100 different flashy moves and they're okay. It's like, well, where are you going to improve there then? You're going to have to like polish yourself, which is doable, but it's easier to like start with a strong base and then add some flair on top of that, similar to the way the New Japan Young Lions do, as opposed to kind of going the other way around. Who else? I feel like maybe some WXW guys, but none are jumping to mind.
Francis Caspin, potentially. He'll be a good late round pick. He's got a lot of potential, and is sort of getting the one-to-one masterclass with Walter in like the finishing school, the WXW Training Academy. So he's going to be someone to really watch out for. But I think maybe he's still a couple of years from becoming a really big deal. It's not going to happen this year, so maybe drafting him won't look too amazing in hindsight.
And a couple of the Rev Pro babies.
Curtis Chapman needs to eat a sandwich, but like he has got the fire already and is technically sound, so he's definitely a guy who can go far.
And the South Coast connection, Ashley Six and... No, Kelly Six and Ashley... Done? Is that the way?
Yeah.
Although both, one of them like... sometimes Josh Wall.
Kelly Six, split personality disorder, yeah. Ashley Dunn looked good in that sort of baby six man at the cockpit, like two cockpits ago, with all the other newbies. He was probably the standout in that, so yeah, he'll probably get drafted, I would say.
I'd say Cara Noir is going to get drafted too. There's a lot of hype around him.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Dawkins, of course, as well. I think for the most part, though, we did a fairly good job of grabbing most of the wrestlers who would go on to have a good year.
Yeah, I think that only, like, the three guys I mentioned were, like, major snubs looking back, and especially Lycos.
And I can forgive us all Yearn because he was bad. He was a bad wrestler. Like, at the time of we did the vote at the time, you'd have lost votes for having drafted Yearn.
Whereas people now, would have laughed at you. Yeah. Now he's a surefire.
Yeah. So, who do you think won? A year on.
I would probably say yourself, Rob. I think you've got a nice mix of, like, the top talent as well as guys who maybe other people were looking over and have risen in stock, and also a pretty decent, like, depth to your roster. Like, kind of, maybe you're not the best at any one particular area, but all around, yours is probably the one I would pay money to see the most.
It's really close between mine and Arn's from my point of view. Like, because Arn's top is so, so strong, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
It is only, like, in the middle where it kind of... I do make gains when I've got, like, Travis Banks to his Nathan Cruz. I've got Ridgeway to his Robbie X. I've got Dreisker to his Wild Boar, which isn't too much of a swing. But I've got Kings of the North to his Eastern Reese and Prospect. Yeah, I'll be interested to see the way the vote goes, and I'll look down in the... you'll be able to get to the vote either. I'll be tweeting about it. I'll link to it on the forum post. And I will, in the notes on the podcast, when you download the podcast, there'll be a link in there as well for you to go to access the vote. I think I'm going to do it not on Twitter this time, because I know a few people last time said it'd be nice for the people who don't have Twitter to be able to vote. So I'll do it through some, like, third party thing. Not entirely sure. Haven't set it up yet, but I'll set it up before I put out the episode. I'll be interested to see which way people vote. I was kind of toying with the idea of having some kind of like save from. You could pick like one guy from your roster last year that you could take for when we do the draft again this year. But if we're adding a person, I'm not entirely sure how that would work out. Maybe give them first pick from everyone left. Let me know on Twitter if you've got any ideas for that sort of thing, if you'd like to see that sort of thing, or you just want to do another straight draft. Yeah. Thanks for talking through this with me, Ollie.
Yes, it's been good fun. Kind of like a wrap-up of like a whole year worth of BritRest, kind of. It's felt like a bit of a whistle-stop tour.
Yeah, that's like we kind of hinted broadly and totally unsubtly at the end of the actual draft last year. The reason we do the draft is so we can talk about guys we don't necessarily always get a chance to talk about, but also talk about the strength of the UK scene as a whole. And it was nice here to be able to kind of do a little bit of a retrospective on a lot of the guys and kind of look back and see how much guys have improved in the last year. Like, it'd be cool to see how high up Brooks gets drafted, considering he was, what, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, yeah, 9th round pick. Banks was a 7th round pick. Volta was 2nd round, he's probably moving up to 1st. Dreisker was, what, 9, 10, 11, 12th round. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of guys moving up quite a bit.
Good stuff. And it also kind of marks our 2nd anniversary of doing the podcast, so it's nice for that perspective as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not quite sure what number we're on, but I know we're right nearly around 50.
Nearly 50.
this will be episode 48, so I think the draft will then end up 51. When we do it. So
celebrating 51 episodes.
Yeah, well, what a lovely round double odd number, yeah. Yeah, so this has ended up going way longer than we expected. We kind of said at the beginning, it'll probably end up around half an hour. I think with editing, this one will probably go a little bit over an hour and a half, although I will try and pull it together a little bit, because I know I did ramble at some points. It's a habit you get into when you get out of the habit of podcasting. Although I rambled when I was on podcast regularly anyway, and I'm doing that now. So, yep, everyone, thanks for listening, and...